1 to 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Well, something called the American Society for Quality defines root cause analysis as a collective term that describes a wide range of approaches, tools, and techniques used to uncover causes of problems. Well, for the Christian, indwelling sin is a big problem. It was a big problem 2,000 years ago for the Ephesians, and it's a big problem for each of you. It's a problem that requires a spiritual root cause analysis. And only after doing so can you effectively wage war on your sin. Of course, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So keeping this in mind, my one aim this morning is to call you to refrain from sin and to instead give thanks to God. Your sin reveals what's in your heart. In verses 3 and 4 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul warns the Ephesians about engaging in several different sins: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, and crude joking. Well, sexual immorality is a term that is used to cover all manner of sexual sin, whether it was adultery or prostitution or homosexuality, premarital sex, and the list goes on and on. And this type of behavior was rampant among the Gentiles at the time that Paul is writing this. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. This sexual immorality is really anything of a sexual nature that happens outside of marriage, which is where God has designed sexual relations to happen. Well, the term all impurity, this is a shameless type of activity, and it's usually associated with sexual immorality, but it doesn't have to be. It can be more than that. But here it's tied closely to these sexual sins. And then in verse 4, Paul talks about filthiness and foolish talk and crude joking. These terms aren't used anywhere else in the New Testament. And they must be associated with the sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness listed in verses 3 and 5. It would be strange if they were on their own when they're bracketed by these other sins. And so Paul really is referring to any type of sexual immorality and all of the talk that would go on around that sexual immorality. People's talk referring to those sexual sins. Now, it is critical to remember that the sexual sins Paul warns about here and the obscene talk that's associated with them didn't just spring up out of nowhere. They are the fruit of what was already in the Ephesians' hearts. Our heart is the place that in us, the immaterial place in us, that thinks and feels and decides. And this is what Jesus says about the heart in Mark 7. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Well, this is why I believe Paul lists covetousness along with sexual immorality and obscene talk. You see, he's practicing spiritual root cause analysis. Covetousness is having a desire for what belongs to your neighbor. It is, of course, the sin associated with the 10th commandment. And ultimately, God's word tells us that covetousness is idolatry. It's the worship of something other than God. Now, this is very important because covetousness is connected to sexual sin in that sexual sin includes having a desire for what is not yours, something that is not meant for you. And covetousness springs from discontentment in God and what it is that he has provided. And this discontentment expresses itself in unthankfulness. Are you practicing root cause analysis when it comes to sin? Or are you simply just treating the presenting symptoms? Are you discontent and unthankful this morning? Are you actively caught up in sexual immorality? Your sin reveals what's in your heart. And make no mistake, God's wrath is coming upon those who practice sin. All of the sins that Paul lists in verses 3 and 4 are included in the these things in verse 6, where Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." This, of course, is bad news because all of you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have desired what belongs to other people. You have not been content in some ways with God or what it is that he has given you. God is a just God. He is love, but he also punishes sin. He is faithful in doing so. Do you understand the seriousness of sexual sin? Do you understand the seriousness of covetousness? That continuing to engage in these things is actually a matter of life and death. It's a matter of heaven and hell. Your sin reveals what's in your heart. And God's wrath is coming upon those who practice sin. But there is hope in all of this. Because as Christians, sin is out of place for you. Please look again at verses 3 and 4. Paul says sexual immorality and covetousness are out of place for the Ephesians. They shouldn't even be spoken of by the Ephesians. And this is because, by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ephesians, who were once dead in sin and facing the wrath of God, had been made alive with Christ by God's grace. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, Paul writes this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." The Ephesians were once enslaved to sin, but through Christ they were set free from the bondage of sin, and they could now obey God. They could do what is pleasing in God's sight. They could and they would become more holy by God's grace. Sin was no longer in keeping with their nature. Sin was now out of place for them. Believer, Bereans, do you know that sin is out of place for you? Do you know who you are in Christ and that your new nature is totally incompatible with sin? In the first two chapters of Ephesians, Paul gives an entire list of the blessings that Christians have in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, he talks about how you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is, you now have a sure hope of being resurrected. Death is not the end for you. You no longer have hell to look forward to. You will have a new resurrected body. You will be made perfect one day. Ephesians 1:4, you can know that you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You are a chosen people. Ephesians 1:5, you have been adopted into God's family. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Ephesians 1:7, you have been redeemed and your sins have been forgiven. The slate has been wiped clean. Ephesians 1:11, you have been given an inheritance where you once had no inheritance at all. Ephesians 1:13, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that means you will persevere to the end. You will grow in holiness. Ephesians 1:19-20, you are the recipient of the greatness of the power of God toward you. This is the same power working in you now that raised Christ from the dead and seated him above every rule and authority and power and dominion and name. That is the power that is working in you. Don't you see that if this is true about you, how out of place sexual sin is? How out of place covetousness is in your life? Discontentment is in your life. Well, those of you who do not know Christ, I want you to know that apart from Jesus Christ, you are powerless over sin. You have a sin nature that you inherited with all mankind from Adam and Eve, and you are enslaved to sin. There is no hope for you apart from God, apart from Christ. But repent and believe that Jesus Christ gave himself up for you as a sacrifice to God, and you can know that you will be saved from God's wrath. Today, you're under God's wrath if you've not trusted in Christ, but God is faithful to forgive. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Works will not save you. Works will not make you right with God. You can only be made right with God by God's grace and through faith in Christ Jesus. Don't you want to know these blessings that can be found in Christ? Your sin reveals what's in your heart. God's wrath is coming upon those who practice sin. As a Christian, the good news is that sin is out of place for you. So give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Paul writes in verse 4, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. And at first, it might seem a little strange that Paul uses thankfulness to contrast the list of sexual sins. That's what first actually brought my attention to this verse or to these verses. But remember, the root of all these sins is discontentment. And discontentment expresses itself in unthankfulness, which in turn leads to covetousness and eventually leads to sexual immorality. Thankfulness, on the other hand, is an expression of contentment. It's what one does when they are content. And it also, not only does it express contentment, it also promotes greater contentment. When you give thanks, it makes you more content. Therefore, thankfulness, Paul identifies as a powerful weapon against sexual immorality and covetousness. Thankfulness is a powerful weapon in putting to death sin in your life. But thankful to who? And thankful for what? Well, Paul is not calling the Ephesians just to a general thankfulness. You might say that you're thankful all the time, but thankful to who? Your thankfulness has to have an object. In verse 20, Paul writes, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. You need to give thanks to God. He alone is worthy of praise. He alone is worthy of thanksgiving. He alone is the giver of every good gift. He has not held anything back from you. He has even given to you his Son. You're to be thankful to God. Well, what are the Ephesians to be thankful for? Well, I think it's clear from all that Paul writes before this that they are to be thankful to God for all that it is that he has given them in Christ Jesus. All those many things that Paul writes about in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. Having a thankful heart is actually part of what it means to walk in love and to walk in light and to walk in wisdom. Look in verse 8. Paul says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Walking as children of the light means walking in thankfulness. Look again at verse 15. "Look carefully," Paul writes, "then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." If you're walking in a wise way, that means you're walking in a thankful way. And true thankfulness to God for Christ is part of the new self that Paul tells the Ephesians to put on. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed," Paul says, "in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Part of this new self is being thankful, having a life of thankfulness. Well, can you say that your life is characterized by thankfulness? A thankful life begins with meditating on God's goodness to you in Christ Jesus. A good exercise today would be to read Ephesians 1 and 2, for instance, and then begin to list all of the blessings that you have in Christ. Begin to meditate on who you are in Christ Jesus by God's grace. Now, don't hear me wrong. By all means, take practical measures against sin. Treat the symptoms of sin, in other words. If you're caught in sexual immorality, treat the symptoms while addressing the root cause of the illness. Flee situations that are not good for you. Build accountability into your life. Use the tools that are available to you in the world, like software, possibly. Take control of your environment. Limit the media that you consume. But do so realizing that you must fight at the root cause of that sin. Your sin reveals what's in your heart, and God's wrath is coming upon those who practice sin. As a Christian, sin is out of place for you. So give thanks to God. And when you give thanks to God, do so giving thanks to Him always for everything and in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 20. Paul instructs the Ephesians to give thanks always and for everything. That means they are to give thanks in every moment of their lives, and in every circumstance of life. No matter what the trial is, no matter what's happening, they are to give thanks. The Ephesians are to also give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 20. This means to give thanks, trusting in Jesus and recognizing that He is the only mediator between God and man, that He is the mediator who has been raised from the dead and who has ascended and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, that He intercedes for them. Well, just as you may have developed habits of sexual immorality or covetousness, you can also cultivate the habit of thankfulness. You could do so to the point that you don't even think about being a thankful person anymore. You can cultivate the habit of thankfulness to the glory of God. Any desire that you might have right now to cultivate thankfulness in your life, that desire comes from the Holy Spirit. That's not something you worked up on your own. That desire comes from the Holy Spirit. And a good desire like that for thankfulness, it can shape your actions, what it is that you do. It can develop habit in your life. And then that thankful habit, in turn, it can shape your desires. Do you see how it's a closed loop? It's a closed loop there. Your desires given to you by the Holy Spirit cause you to develop thankfulness as a habit. And then as you carry out these habits of thankfulness, it in turn affects the desires that you have in your heart, making you more thankful. So give thanks to God, for instance, in prayer. Do you know the acronym ACTS? A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Are you making thankfulness a regular part of your prayer, thankfulness to God? Has that been developed as a habit in your life? These habits of thankfulness, they can be something as small as, stopping to give thanks for your meals before you eat. It can also be something like keeping a gratitude journal, writing down the things that you are thankful to God for. As you read your Bible, perhaps you come across more places like Ephesians 1 and 2, where many more, and you will find this in reading your Bible, where many more blessings that you have in Christ Jesus are found. It would be good to keep a track record of those to remind yourself. Another way of cultivating these habits of thankfulness or habits of thankfulness that you can cultivate would be to resolve to have a regular time of sharing thankfulness in your small group, perhaps. Not just making supplication, not just asking God for things. By all means, do that. But also having a time where you just go around and you share what you're thankful to God for, how you're thankful to Him. A week ago, we were with my wife and I and some of the other Bereans were with our high school seniors. And we were down in Hocking Hills, Ohio. And on the way back up on Sunday, we stopped at a little Baptist church there near Columbus. And we were able to join them for their prayer meeting right before the congregational worship. And in that prayer meeting, one of the pastors, he did something wonderful. He put aside a time in that time of prayer to simply pray and give thanks to God. And they used the scriptures as a guide to give thanks to God for all that He had done in their lives. That was a great habit of thankfulness. Well, you need to do all of this. Cultivate these habits of thankfulness, knowing that you have a great sinless high priest who intercedes for you and has given you access to mercy and to grace. Hebrews 4:14-16 says this: "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Give thanks in the name of Jesus. Giving thanks in the name of Jesus means having faith that he is the one mediator between you and the Father, and knowing that you have been given access in your battle with sin. You have been given access to grace and to mercy from God. Well, give thanks to God always for everything and in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. But give thanks also in imitation of God. Give thanks also in imitation of God. Notice verse 1. Right before our text, right before 3 and 4, a little bit before that, go back up to verse 1 of chapter 5. And it's here that Paul calls the Ephesians to imitate God. He says, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Paul calls the Ephesians to imitate God and to walk in love as Christ walked. Though you are tempted, you can know that Christ, too, was tempted in every way, just like you are, but he never sinned. That's the difference. Never sinned. He remained perfectly and is perfectly pure. Imagine that. Never committed a sinful act of sexual immorality. Never coveted anything. Lived a perfect life of contentment and lived a perfect life of thanksgiving. He was thankful always and for everything. Think about his ministry. In keeping with this perfect purity, he gave thanks to the Father for the loaves and the fish before providing a meal for the great crowds. He gave thanks to the Father for hearing his prayer when he commanded Lazarus to rise from the dead. And facing death, he gave thanks to the Father before giving the disciples the bread and the cup the night before he was crucified in your place. Be pure as Christ is pure, and be thankful as Christ is thankful. And do this knowing that he is your righteousness. You have failed to do these things. Christ has done them perfectly. And glory be to God. That righteousness for you, Christian, is now yours. You have an alien righteousness that is not your own. Your sin reveals what's in your heart. God's wrath will be poured out on sin. As Christians, sin is out of place for you. So give thanks to God always for everything and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give thanks in imitation of him. Won't you please stand for this benediction? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible.